Mark chapter 11. And when they came near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sends forth two of his disciples and says to them, "Go your way into the village opposite you, and as soon as you entered into it, you shall find a young donkey tied upon which nobody ever sat. Loose him and bring him. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of him,' and immediately he will send him here." So presumably the people who were looking after this young donkey were believers, and as soon as someone says, "The Lord needs that," oh, immediately. And that's of course how we should be with all that we have. And they went their way and found the young donkey tied by the door outside in a place where two streets met, and they loosed him. And some of those that stood there said to them, "What are you doing, loosing the donkey?" And they said, "Just as Jesus had said," and they let them go. So they brought the young donkey to Jesus and threw their clothes on him, and Jesus sat on him. And many spread their clothes in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna," that means save now. "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Now he was sitting on a young donkey that no one had ever ridden before. Now if you sit on a donkey that's never been ridden before, that's right. So it would have been jumping here, jumping there. It would have been really difficult for Jesus to ride that donkey. Now normally when a king enters into his city in glory, he sits on a charger, on a great big strong battle horse. But Jesus came sitting on a young donkey that had never been ridden before. And so there's a prophecy that says in the Old Testament in Zechariah that says, "Your king comes humble and sitting on a donkey." So you can see how Jesus was so humble. And for Jesus to enter the city sitting on a, especially a young one that was darting and jumping here and there, this really showed that he was the humble king. And that humility of his greatest characteristics, and it should be ours as well, to be humble and to realize that the things that bring about God's kingdom are the humble things and not being proud and great and humanly strong. So they came into Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and he looked round about upon everything. When the evening came, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now, Bethany means the house of the poor, where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. So he doesn't show any great sort of human strength. He's humble all the way through. He doesn't stay in a palace or anything like that. The next day, when they were coming from Bethany, he was hungry, and he saw a fig tree a long way off having leaves, in case he might find any fruit on it. But he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus said to it, "No man eat fruit of you for ever." And his disciples heard it. Now the fig tree represents Israel. And underneath those leaves, although it wasn't the time for full, complete figs, Jesus thought that there ought to have been some little, tiny, immature figs that would have been very hard, like trying to eat a banana or something that's not ripe. And he would have eaten even that. So Jesus was looking for at least some tiny beginnings of fruit on the fig tree of Israel, but all he saw was leaves, an appearance of fruit, when actually there was none. And so when we think that we're not very spiritual and that we haven't got much spiritual fruit, well, Jesus is actually willing to accept, it seems, whatever, as long as we have got something, as long as we're responding and saying yes. But Israel didn't even do that, and they were worse because they had all the leaves that showed, made the appearance that there ought to be some little bit of fruit underneath them, and there was nothing. So they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to throw out those who sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. He wouldn't allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he taught them, saying, Isn't it written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and they sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening was come, Jesus went out of the city, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to Jesus, Master, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Jesus replied to him, Have faith in God. For truly I tell you that whoever will say to this mountain, maybe he was looking at Mount Zion or the Mount of Olives, be removed and cast into the sea, and will not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall happen, he'll have whatever he asks. Therefore I tell you, whatever things you want when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will. So the disciples, especially Peter, were amazed. Jesus made this fig tree dry up. Wow. And Jesus is saying, yeah, you can do great things as well, if you believe. So he tells them to really believe in their prayers. Now, of course, those prayers have got to be according to the will of God. But he advised them something. When you stand praying, forgive if you've got anything against anybody, so that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your sins. But if you don't forgive, neither will your Father, who is in heaven, forgive your sins. So this raises a big question. Should we forgive people only when they say sorry? Well, you could say that, or you can take seriously what's here, which is that the kind of forgiveness we give to other people is what we will have at the last day. And we all sin in many ways. We might not realize it's a sin, or we might not be humble enough to confess our sin. So therefore, we ought to forgive other people without demanding that they repent. And Jesus said, when he's talking about having faith in things we ask for, he seems to be saying, and when you're praying for the things you want, you should always remember to say something about your own sins and the sins of other people that you forgive. So they came to Jerusalem, and as Jesus was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came up to him and said to him, By what authority do you do these things? Who gave you this authority to do these things? They didn't think, like a lot of people today seem to think, that you've got to have some letter from somebody, you've got to have an agreement from somebody to do things. And Jesus is just saying, no, you do what God tells you to do. You're free. And this is the great thing about serving God, that you don't need to get any permission from anybody in that sense. So Jesus said to them, I'll also ask you a question, and you answer me. And I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? In other words, was it from God or was it just from men? Tell me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he'll say, So why then didn't you believe him? If they accepted John the Baptist was from God, then he's going to say, So why didn't you believe him? But if we shall say, No, it was just of men, they feared the people, for all men considered John to be a true prophet. So they said to Jesus, We can't tell. In other words, they were really saying, Yep, well, we know in our hearts that it was really from God, but we're not going to say that. So Jesus said to them, Well, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. In other words, you know in your hearts that I'm from God. And that's how it is with a lot of people today, that in their hearts they know that the Christian message is true, and they know there is a God, but they can't bring themselves to admit it. And when we talk to people, we must remember that underneath they actually want to believe, but it's their own pride and their own self-interest which stops them.